One of the big stories of the day, of course, is the fact that the Augusta National Golf Club has changed their rules for the first time in their 80-year history. Augusta National has female members, the home of the Masters, under increasing criticism the last decade because of its all-male membership, invited former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and also South Carolina financier Darla Moore to become the first woman in green jackets when the club opens for a new season in October, and both women have accepted. And I know you've covered this story for a long time as Ann Killian joins us, who is a writer for Sports Illustrated and also CSN Bay Area. And she's somebody that has covered this for a long time. When you heard this, is there anything that surprised you about it besides how long it took?
There was something that surprised me a little bit. But, yeah, my first reaction was, welcome to the 21st century. But what surprised me was after these years and years of saying, our membership is private, we're a private club, this is nobody's business but ours and our members, it's private, they issued a press release to announce that they had these two members. So I guess it's private until it's not.
Let's talk a little bit about the history of the club in itself and your thoughts about the club as a golf club.
Well, I mean, I actually am not that... I have never covered the Masters, so I've just followed this story from afar. And, of course, we know that it wasn't until just about 20 years ago that they admitted their first African-American member, and then, you know, they had the battle 10 years ago over women, and their president said, you know, we will not change our policy at the point of a bayonet. But, you know, their stance has always been they're a private club, and that's true, but they are... they host one of the most public sporting events in the world, one that attracts millions of eyeballs, sells millions and millions of dollars in merchandise, has huge sponsorship from major corporations. And so, you know, that's not really a private event. And so I think that their stance of being private just, it started to fall on deaf ears. And I really think, you know, obviously that this is motivated as much by anything as the pressure from sponsors to kind of get out of this sticky situation. They want to be affiliated with the Masters. It's a great event, but they don't want to, you know, be excluding 52% of the population.
In 2002, Martha Burke, of course, had the big demonstration against the Masters golf tournament and the club as well. Do you think that that was the trigger for starting the progress toward this decision today?
Sure. I mean, I think at some point there always has to be a, you know, someone pointing things out, making it public. And she was mocked by a lot of people. Her protest didn't attract the hundreds or thousands of people she expected. There were only, I think, about 30 people. And it was a very divisive thing. And, you know, being held in Georgia, people were, you know, it was not popular. It wasn't popular with the media covering the Masters. It wasn't popular with the membership. It wasn't popular with the population. So, but she put it in everyone's mind. She made it become something that was part of our consciousness that this was an exclusionary club. And so every year when the Masters rolled around, it's something that people thought about. And I think, you know, after that was in 2002, you know, here we are a decade later, and they finally did it. I think she deserves some of the credit for sure.
What do you think about the selection of Condoleezza Rice and also Darla Moore as being the first two women? How do you think that might have come about, picking those two?
Well, I don't know. I don't really know what their method is. Darla Moore, I believe, is good friends with Billy Payne. She is from South Carolina also and lives down there, and they know each other. And Condoleezza Rice is a very prominent person. The fact that she's also African-American doesn't hurt. She, you know, is someone who I think makes a statement about being both conservative and also fulfilling these other things, being a woman and being an African-American. So she, you know, she's a figurehead in many ways. And she will be spending, I guess, a lot less time at Stanford football games now than she had in the past, because that's usually where I see her.
Do you know whether either one of them play golf or not?
Yeah, supposedly they both do. Yeah, Condoleezza Rice is a member of Cypress, too. I believe. They do both play golf. And the woman whose name eludes me right now, who's the chairman of IBM.
Yes.
And she is the one that everyone had been talking about as, because IBM chairmen have traditionally, that's been a perk of the job, is membership at Augusta. And so there was a lot of talk at last year's Masters, or this year's Masters, that she would be the first woman to be offered a membership. But supposedly she does not play golf, or not avidly, so that would have been a problem with the membership. So I think that, these women fit the bill, other than the fact that they're women, of most of the membership.
You know, a lot of people will say this is just tokenism, but I guess you got to start somewhere, don't you, Ann?
Yeah, you got to start somewhere, but I'm certainly not going to, you know, Billy Payne issued a statement saying this is a joyous occasion. I mean, I don't think anyone's turning cartwheels over the fact that they've admitted two women for the first time in their 80-year history, and you know, it took them 10 years of being dragged through the mud, you know, to do it. I think you do start somewhere, and this is where we started, and good for them. But if they want a big standing ovation about it, you know, they're not going to get it from me.
You know, you talk about the Olympics, and of course, there were 46 gold medals won by the United States, 29 of them by women, 63%, and everything. Are there any other barriers for women when it comes to sports like the one that has been endured at Augusta National?
Oh, sure. There's barriers all over the place. There's, you know, real barriers like being excluded from membership, but there's also just barriers in the way that, you know, women are either talked about or discussed, or how, you know, I mean, there's still a lot of difference in treatment. But I mean, we're getting there. And I think what we saw at the Olympics in London was just more evidence of the power of Title IX and the progress that has been made in our country, and the fact that when given the chance to compete, when women given the chance to be sharing the stage or the spotlight with male athletes, women excel and sometimes outshine. So it's things have changed. And today with the news out of Augusta is a little bit more change. But again, it is 2012, and I don't think that, you know, admitting two very rich women into a very rich inner circle is really, you know, means much of anything except symbolically.
I certainly know that for you and other women that came before you, it was very, very difficult in covering sports as well for a long time. And we all know about the problems about women getting into the locker rooms to cover, particularly in the National Football League, and some of the harassment that they took along the way. And I'm glad to see that has at least changed. And so that's why I wondered if in sports there was any other things to shoot for as far as tearing down the barrier.
Well, you know, there's talk that there will be I just did a story on women in baseball, and there's talk that there are a couple of women who are potentially in line to be general managers, so that might be a next barrier. I think, you know, women in management, that's probably a barrier that will be coming down at some point soon. You know, will we ever see a female coach? I don't know about that. Everything is progress. Everything's changing. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, if I wanted to sit down and make a laundry list of things that still need to be done, or still barriers that still need to be broken, I could probably come up with them. But I think, you know, and overall, you know, the culture has changed dramatically in the last 20 years since I've been working in the business on all fronts.
Yeah, and I also think that with the woman who is working as part of the replacement officials in the National Football League, I think that was a step forward too as well, and I think that they'll be a little bit more open-minded about that. Pam Postuma, for a period of time, was considered to be somebody that might break in as a major league umpire, but yet that's not happened. Are you surprised?
Yeah, maybe, because I don't think that requires anything except good eyesight. You know, I don't think we do have a couple of female officials in the NBA. I think it really, these barriers will be broken. It's up to the women if they want to, you know, endure whatever, you know, discrimination or testing or battle, you know, to take it on. But I would think at some point we'd see some baseball officials be female. I don't see why not. I mean, they can, you know, be overweight, blind, and spit seeds like the rest of them, right?
Ann, I want to thank you very much for your insight and your perspective on this story. Take care, my friend.
Okay, thank you, Ron. It's great to talk to you.
Ann Killian with us, fine writer, certainly contributing to Sports Illustrated and also CSN Bay Area. Also at one time worked for the San Jose Mercury News, one of the most respected writers in the country. And again, if you haven't heard, for the first time in its 80-year history, Augusta National Golf Club has female members. They offered membership to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and also a financier from South Carolina, Darla Moore, and both of the women accepted. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.